In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue our series of sermons on our second lesson readings from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We continue today in chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dearly loved by God, dear Christian friends, it was a time, a period of transition, one that we really would never experience. The law, with everything that it had done to point ahead to the coming of Christ and the sacrifice he would made for sin, was now abrogated. It was done away with because Jesus had come and he had fulfilled the law. And he had been crucified and rose and ascended into heaven. Every purpose the law had for pointing ahead to Christ and his sacrifice was over. And the law even became a hindrance when it intruded itself into the gospel of justification by faith in Christ alone. That is what happened between Peter and Paul. There had been a council of the church in Jerusalem. The apostles met and they reaffirmed that Paul would go north into Syria and Cilicia to Asia Minor and would preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter would remain in Jerusalem and would primarily do his work among the Jews there. Sometime after that council, when Paul was in Syria, Peter traveled the 120 miles, that's like from here to Hobart or Merrillville, to visit Paul to spend some time with a Gentile church. And Peter understood that the barriers between Jew and Gentile had been torn down racially and culturally. Peter understood that now there was perfect freedom in Christ, and that now the law that served until Christ came was no longer necessary. And so in that Christian freedom, Peter, exactly right, correctly, would sit down and would join in the fellowship meals that the Gentile Christians would hold. He would join as a Jew right in with them. And that's what Paul meant when he said to Peter, "You're a Jew and you live like a Gentile, not a Jew anymore. Because you understand that in Christ there is no difference. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile in Christ." It was, however, Peter's subsequent action which brought that intrusion of the law into the gospel of justification by faith that the Apostle Paul was preaching. And that gospel serves as our theme. By observing the law, no one will be justified. To teach otherwise, as Peter was doing by his actions, was really to deny that truth that is the gospel. Paul reminded him and reminds us, we put our faith in Christ so that we are justified by Christ. A little bit later still, some other Jewish Christians were sent from the pillar of the church, James, the Lord's brother, to go up to Antioch. And when they got up there, and when they arrived, this strange thing happened. Peter began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. When the Apostle Paul saw that, he rightfully accused Peter of hypocrisy. He accused Peter of living a lie. Because this is what happened. Peter was all right with sitting and eating with these Gentiles. But suddenly, when a group of Jewish Christians who still were observing many of the Old Testament customs and practices like circumcision came to visit, then Peter all of a sudden said, "Oh, I really can't eat with the Gentiles now. They might not like that. They won't understand why I'm doing that. So I have to stay away from them and just then eat with my fellow Jews." And Paul said, "That's a lie. That's hypocrisy. What are you saying to those Gentile Christians? You're saying, well, you have to keep the law. You have to continue to obey those customs along with faith in Christ in order to be a believer, in order to be a child of God." In effect, Peter, by his action, was saying that you are justified by observing the law, not only by believing in Jesus as your Savior. And Paul would not abide that misunderstanding and that misdirection that Peter was now giving to his fellow Gentile Christians. But like a good Christian, Paul did not go behind Peter's back. He didn't go around gossiping about Peter and complaining about Peter's beliefs and actions to others. But we read that I opposed him to his face, Paul wrote. We might say that Paul was upfront with Peter. He went before Peter in front of all the others and said, what you are doing is hypocritical. What you're doing is rebuilding the wall of the law. What you're doing is suggesting to these Gentiles, with whom you previously ate freely, that they have to keep the commands of the law and the customs of the law according to the Old Testament. Now think about that. What was Paul's real concern? And he writes about it. He said, if that's true, then we who believe in justification only by faith in Christ are wrong. And what we believe is a lie, and then it's a sin. If you're saved by observing the law, then you are sinning by believing that you're saved only by Christ. And if you believe that the gospel is a sin, and believing the gospel means that you're not justified, then Christ promotes sin. Christ is the one who is promoting that sin, that you're saved only by believing in Him. What was Paul's reaction to that most horrific thought? In the strongest Greek words possible, he wrote, God forbid. It's quite a bit weaker in English. Absolutely not. But he meant, God forbid that Christ would be promoting sin. God forbid that the gospel of salvation and justification in Christ alone is a lie. God forbid that we would let our works, that we would let the law intrude into our way of salvation. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And to teach otherwise is to deny and is not in line with the truth. You and I are not justified in any way by the law. We are not righteous in God's sight in any way by our works. And the reason that Paul wrote of this account to the Galatians was that there were false teachers in Galatia who were teaching the very same thing that Peter was doing by his actions. They were telling the Galatians, yeah, that's good to believe in Jesus. But you also have to be circumcised. You also have to continue to keep the dietary laws and all the regulations of the ceremonial law in the Old Testament. Paul reminded the Galatians, and he reminds us, that obedience to the commandments has nothing to do with God declaring us righteous. God has already done that in Christ. God has already declared the world not guilty of sin in Christ, as Jesus kept that law perfectly. He obeyed every commandment. He fulfilled every purpose of the law that pointed ahead to Him and His purpose for coming into the world. You and I need to hear this pure gospel regularly. By observing the law, no one will be justified. Because our sinful nature tries to convince us that my loving God and my loving my neighbor contributes to my salvation. That it's good that I believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus, but my love for God and my love for my neighbor has to count for something, for my forgiveness and redemption. The devil is always right there through false teachers, false prophets today, like in Galatia. Faith plus love is what saves you. Yes, faith in Christ is good, but you have to love. You have to make satisfaction for your sins, as if you even could, or as if you would even need to, since Christ has made satisfaction for them already. But false teachers say, if you just try harder, if you just do better, if you just give up this, if you just give up that, if you just do this and do that, then that's going to really seal and contribute to God considering you and making you righteous in His eyes. That teaching is contrary to the gospel. That teaching is contrary to the truth of the gospel, that we are justified by faith without the works of the law. And then Paul adds, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, if I can gain righteousness with God by my works, Christ died for nothing. Jesus Christ did not die for nothing, so that I could try to be righteous in my own works. Christ died offering His perfect works for mine. Jesus offered His perfect life for me. Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly and then offered that perfect obedience in His sacrifice on the cross. And God declared that sacrifice accepted by raising His Son from the dead for our justification. God forbid that Christ died for nothing, or that I would have to try to be righteous so that God would consider me righteous. Paul goes on then to explain the correct understanding of the law. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. So, you and I have died to the law. It doesn't have anything to do with us anymore, as far as we have to keep it to be saved, we have to keep it to be righteous. It just has nothing to do with us anymore. Why? Because of the law. Because the law has been kept by Jesus. Once the law was kept perfectly, its demand for perfection was completed. Its condemnation for lack of perfection was canceled. So I have died to the law, by the law, because Christ has kept it for me perfectly. Now the life I live, I don't live trying to be righteous. I don't live so that God will declare me righteous. Now I live my life for God, who has declared me righteous in Christ. Now I live freely and gladly, without any encumbrances of law, so that I can show God my gratitude for being perfect in His life and death for me. For me to live is to live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I, along with all my sin and all my guilt, all my punishment, was nailed to the cross in Christ. If you ever think that you're not a sinner and that your sins don't condemn you to hell, consider the cross. There is no greater proof of those things than the cross. Somebody had to pay. Somebody had to be forsaken by God because of your sins and because of mine. The cross of Jesus Christ is proof of our sin and our guilt and our punishment. But we were crucified with Christ. That's all been taken care of now. We've been punished. We've been forsaken because Jesus was punished and forsaken for us. So I no longer live. My sinful nature no longer controls me. I no longer am required to live a holy life, to be saved. Because now in the new man, my Savior Jesus Christ lives in my heart, and the Holy Spirit leads me into striving for godliness in my life. This is our sanctification that flows from faith. Faith is the essence of sanctification. Love is the manifestation of sanctification, of my living for Christ. Paul says, "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God." That's what motivates me. That's what compels me. That's what drives me. My faith that trusts in Christ. We trust in Christ so that we are saved by Christ. And in that faith, we live our lives to God's glory by striving to live holy lives. Peter was really setting aside the grace of God in the weakness of fear. By acting as if obedience were necessary, he was denying the pure gospel. God forbid that we would deny the pure gospel, that we are saved, justified only through Christ, as we hold him in faith. We trust in Christ so that we are saved by Christ, by what he has done. You and I do not seek to rebuild the law in our lives or in our faith. We do not seek God's righteousness by our own works, by letting those works intrude in our plan of salvation, which is relying only on Jesus Christ as our Savior. The gospel has abolished the law. God has in Christ destroyed, torn down the law. Not so that I can keep sinning. Not so that I can merrily go through my life doing whatever I want, even if it goes contrary to God's will. That's not the fruit that faith bears. Faith bears good fruit. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches connected to me, and branches connected to me bear good fruit." Not because of the law, but because of their connection to Christ. We trust in Christ so that we are saved by Christ. We trust in Christ and we bear fruits of faith in Christ to his glory. Fruits of love. Fruits that we don't place as works in the cause of our salvation, but works of faith that show we are justified by Christ. Looking a little bit ahead to Paul's letter, dear friends in Christ, do not be foolish like the Galatians. Do not let anyone bewitch you and turn you away from the pure gospel. Do not try to attain your goal of salvation by human effort. Because as Paul later quotes the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3, verse 11, the just, the righteous will live by faith. Amen.